Everyone ready?
Yeah.
You all right, Nicola?
Yes. Yeah.
3, 2. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the very first episode in a brand new series. This is Relay, the Team GB podcast supported by GoDaddy. In this series, we get to meet the athletes who will be representing Team GB at the Tokyo Olympics. I'm Vernon Kerr, and I'm saying that with a smile because this is actually a really proud moment. We're going into an Olympic Games, and I'd like to welcome two very special people who are going to be with us on this journey. Rhys James, comedian, stand-up comedian, ever present on the scene, as they say. But you're a massive Olympics fan, right?
Yeah, and this is the only opportunity I'm ever going to get to represent Team GB. I knew once they introduced podcasting to the Olympics, I'd finally get my chance. And here we are.
Boom. Yeah, well, we'll get into the intricacies of your career and kind of Olympians and professional entertainers. There's a lot of parallels, I think.
It's exactly the same. It's exactly the same level of work, commitment, talent. It's identical.
It's physically demanding.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very strenuous. And we're sat next to someone very special, Rhys. It's a real privilege to be sat next to double Olympic champion Nicola Adams. Nicola, thanks for saying yes to being involved on the podcast on Relay.
How can I say no? I mean, it's all about the build up to the games now. This is going to be awesome. We're speaking to the athletes.
It is special, and you know, you've been there. So Rhys and I are going to basically drain you of all your memories of your experiences of being an Olympic athlete, especially in the build up, because we're not far off now from actually seeing Gabby Logan sit down and go, hi and welcome to the Olympics, you know, along with all our other esteemed broadcasters that the Beeb give us. But you can feel the hype already, can't you?
Yeah, you can. It's just as it gets closer and closer, the adverts start to pop up about the games, you hear more from the athletes, and then the pressure builds, the excitement builds, and you're like, wow, we're getting on the flight now, we're going, this is it, this is the time, this is where we create a legacy.
And this one is really special because obviously it's been delayed because of the pandemic. So I guess the athletes are really itching and raring to go. It must be like, well, there you go. Here's our first parallel, Rhys. Very similar to you guys in the entertainment business where you've had gigs booked, they've been cancelled, they've been postponed. How do you mentally reset yourself?
Well, you know, you're just talking, aren't you? It's fine. You don't have to do anything. Just go, I'll probably just talk about the last year that everyone's had that's been a bit mad. I'll just talk about banana bread for an hour, shall I? Just do that.
But I guess from a stand-up comedian's perspective, a lot has happened that has enabled you to empower yourself and the way that your act is going to be, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose the difference is that there are ways you could do it in the pandemic. So, for example, you know, there started to pop up loads of Zoom gigs. Now, I don't imagine Zoom boxing is possible. It's nowhere near as fun, is it? So Zoom gig, and again, I suppose it's the same. Zoom gigs are all right, but it's nothing compares to the real thing with the crowd in front of you. And things are coming back now, but it's still, you know, socially distanced, people wearing masks, which is not conducive to hearing laughter. Or my jokes aren't funny. But I'm going to go with the mask thing. I'd rather go with the mask.
Well, if you don't get a response, you say, oh, you're on mute!
Yeah.
Nicola, how has this pandemic affected our athletes? Because the Olympic Games in Japan should have been done and dusted.
Yeah.
You know, we would have celebrated by now and we'd still be nursing the hangover. That's how confident I am, by the way. But how have the athletes had to readjust themselves and prepare? Because if you're in a physical sport, you would have prepared your body for last year, but now you've got to reset, put on a little bit more timber. You can get back on the carbs, I guess.
Yeah.
And then get ready for 2021.
Yeah, see, this is the thing. You'd like to hope that the athletes haven't switched off, you know, gone on to other things and then come back like, I need to get back fit again. You know, that's the last thing you want to do for an Olympic year. I mean, some countries and some athletes won't have been able to train the same way. They might not have had the facilities. So, you know, we might actually even see some upsets. We might actually see some people coming through that maybe won't have come through before.
So what you're saying is that year would have given certain athletes a chance to develop physically.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of young athletes in the Olympics, aren't there? You know, that extra year gives them a year to develop and grow a little bit stronger.
Yeah, it does. It really does. And then some might have even taken the foot off the gas, you know, and
oh, that's controversial.
Let it slide. Hey, you just don't know.
That's controversial, Nicola.
It's going to be exciting.
Are you seeing some of these professional athletes aren't actually that professional and love a curly whirly instead of a shake?
It happens. It really does. It happens.
We're not having the fans there be as impactful. Like we saw it in football, didn't we, where the home advantage basically went out of the window in the Premier League, for example. Is that going to happen, do you think, without the crowds?
No. I think once they get in there, it'll be about winning that medal. The crowd, it won't matter. It'll be just complete focus on what they have to do.
Because as professional athletes, let's just paint the picture. When you get to the location of where the Olympics are, let's take Rio, for example. You were there. Everyone's in the Olympic Village. Just describe for us the Olympic Village, the atmosphere, what goes on between the competing nations.
In the Olympic Village, you have blocks of the different countries. Every country has their own block that they stay in. You see the athletes going round. You see the marathon runners jogging around the village. You see the basketballers. You see all the shapes, sizes, different physiques for the different sports, which always surprises me. I mean, you see the volleyballers and the basketballers, and they're so tall. And then you see the little weightlifters and like short, stocky. It's just fun to see in this. There's like a bar as well. I know they don't tell you
Stop the press. That serves what? Carrot juice and ginger shakes?
So we have like a sports bar that...
where you can get wings and pictures of lager. Oh, yes. This is the dream vacation.
But instead of alcohol, it'll sell like sports drinks and you can get shots of Powerade.
Honestly. Hang on, you can get shots of sports drink.
Yeah, yeah.
What electrolytes would you like today?
Relay, the Team GB podcast.
So momentum is building. We're all really excited. We're going to peel away the layers of what it's like to be an Olympic athlete. And there's no one better to help us do that, Nicola, than yourself. You've been there. You've done it. Have you written the book?
I have got a book, actually.
you forgot that for a second.
Yeah. We'll plug that later. But let's welcome our guest on the first episode of Relay, shall we? A very special athlete, 3-time world champion, 2-time European champion, 2-time World Grand Prix final champion in her division, second only Briton to win a world title and third to win a global title. I am, of course, talking about Taekwondo specialist Bianca Walkden, everyone.
Yay.
Bianca, welcome. A great pleasure to have someone so successful as yourself on the first episode of Relay. Let's go back to the very beginning. You were born in 1991 in Liverpool. How does a Scouser get involved in Taekwondo?
Well, it's quite rough, isn't it? I had to protect myself here. But no, I just went one day after school with my friends. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know how to spell it. It's dead hard to spell. And then I just thought, oh, let's give it a go. And I was 11 after school. And I remember coming in and everyone was wearing these like massive white suits of all different colour belts. And I thought, ooh, they're kicking and screaming at each other. And I thought, this is something I'd be all right at. And then I got in and never looked back.
It's amazing your rise and rise and rise and rise within the Taekwondo world. What motivates you? What's your inspiration?
I think it's when someone tells me I can't do something, it pushes me even more.
Oh, you're a stubborn one, are you, Bianca?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, well, when I started, I was absolutely terrible. Like, I wouldn't have picked myself. And then more people, like, was like, oh, I don't know. And then I'd want to prove that wrong and prove it wrong. And then it just never stopped now. And I'm just going to keep going till I feel complete.
Nice. It's good that. I like that. It's interesting, Reece, isn't it? How you get thrown into a situation and then you adjust and you just think, you know what, I like this. Is that how you started in comedy?
Sort of. So, I mean, I sort of tried everything. I mean, I did similar stuff where I just like at 11, 10, 11, 12, I just tried every single sport, was rubbish at all of them and realised my sport had to be words. I had no choice. And so I did go, actually, no, I do want to do this. And then at 17, I just did a gig. And then once you do one, it's probably similar. Once you do it once, you're like, well, I guess I'll just never stop forever. I'll just do this forever now.
And you discovered boxing because basically your mum went to a fitness class and left you in the boxing room, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
Just that simple?
Just purely by accident, I guess. My mum could get a babysitter one night, took me and my brother off to an after-school boxing class and absolutely loved it.
It changed your life?
Yeah.
What if she just dropped you off at mug painting? It's all decisions, isn't it, life?
Yeah.
It all comes down to a sliding doors moment. You're either an Olympic mug painter. Is that in the Olympics? They've had it skateboarding. Or you're a twice gold medal winning boxer.
Hey.
All because of that after school decision. Thank God there wasn't a babysitter.
I know, right?
So let's cut to the jib, shall we? Talk to us, Bianca, about your preparations. Where are you at? Has the delay affected your training? Are you in as good a shape now as you were then, or has it been a struggle to maintain peak performance?
Well, I'd hope I'm back into the shape I was in 2020. I definitely put a bit of quarantine weight on. We were just at home trying to train, but you eat as much as you can when you're in quarantine. But I think this extra year has given us a chance to train a little bit more, even though I would have preferred it to be last year, but everyone's in the same boat. So hopefully I've just got to go out there and do the job and come back with the gold.
Didn't you and Jade Jones set up a home gym or something? Did you put the mats down and thought, yeah, let's just get at it?
Yeah, so downstairs in the garage, it was an absolute mess. But we thought we'll rip it all out, take everything. We put some Taekwondo mats in. It was basically like a small Taekwondo ring, like a UFC ring. And then we just thought we'd still train. And because at this point, we didn't know how long the postponement would be. So we had to make sure that we were still ready. So we trained like twice a day still for a good few months. To be honest, I don't think the neighbours like us anymore. We were kicking and screaming and we got a few complaints, but then we'd just be like, oh, we're going to the Olympics, please, please, let us kick and scream the house down. It was good.
Just remind us, because I think you would do Jade a better service than I would. Just remind us who Jade is and yourself and that relationship that you've got.
Yeah, Jade Jones is my housemate, best friend, and she is double Olympic champion in Taekwondo, and she will be going for a third Olympic gold in Tokyo this summer.
It must be nice when, you know, Bianca, you and Jade have that opportunity to train with each other when you know what level you're both at. I would imagine training would be difficult if you were training, no disrespect to anyone you've trained before, who isn't at your level.
Yeah, I think it's the people you surround yourself with. We've got the same dream, we've got the same goal. There's days when we went down into the gym or just in the centre and one of us might not want to train, so the other one would make sure that we push each other and we keep setting the bar as high as we can, because we know what we need to do and what it takes to be the best. So we always make sure that we're together pushing each other, and I don't think we could have done it without each other. And we've lived together now for like, I think it's like 11 years, so this whole journey we've been through on Taekwondo, and we've done it together, and hopefully we can end it well with the Olympics.
And your boyfriend is a Taekwondo athlete as well, right?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's a former world number one, and he's actually my training partner now for the Olympics, and he just keeps beating me up.
I was going to say, how does that work relationship-wise? It's your turn to empty the dishwasher. No, it's your turn. You've kicked me in the head.
We don't really argue. I think it's just because we try and batter each other every day in the gym.
Maybe that's the secret. Is that the secret?
I think it is.
Sparring. You just have to spar all the time and then just you don't have arguments.
Oh, I think we've just closed down Relate, the counselling service, which is available, because we've just kind of quashed everything. Just spar. Well, Bianca, I don't want to make it personal, but I am going to make it personal. Has that strengthened your relationship, the fact that you train together, and that must strengthen your communication within your relationship?
Yeah, definitely. I think with sport and going to the top level, you really find yourself and the person that you are. Like, you always put yourself out there and you give your soul to be the best at training and be the best in the sport. And I think like that shows the kind of person you are day by day. And I've learned more and more that in training, it's probably the most more intense, because that's when I'm at like my weakest and emotionally, because it's so much stress. So I think that's the real me. So I think it's definitely made us stronger as a couple, because I understand him and he understands me at our lows and at our highs. So if anything, it's opened it up more than it would if I just went to work and came back and was like, oh, how's your day? And I'd be like, yeah, I just got kicked in the face, or I'd kick someone in the face. Now, like, he understands it and he's gone on that journey with me together.
I'm going to ask you, you girls have got something in common, which is, I think, is very special and it's very unique. You're two women competing in very, very physical sports. Yeah. How was that perceived when you were younger, when Nicola, you would say to your mates, oh, I'm going boxing? And the same for you, Bianca, when you would say to your mates, oh, can't come out tonight, I'm going doing Taekwondo. Well, let's start with you, Nicola. How did your mates and how did your family and friends perceive you as a boxer?
I mean, when you tell your friends you're a boxer, I mean, they're not really going to say much, are they?
Well, I remember when you came on Family Fortunes, and there's no way I was going to argue with you. Yeah. Name something you put in your mouth but you don't swallow. You said a matchstick. You're like, oh, Nicola. Nicola's a great answer. It's a great answer. I'll take it.
But you do get people that are like, what, boxing? You know, what? Why don't you play tennis or football or something? Why choose boxing? And it's like, well, I love boxing. I like it. I'm passionate about it. It's what I do.
And the same for you, Bianca, you know, because you said you started at 11. How have you seen your mates or your relationship with your mates and your family evolve as you've got better and better, I guess?
Yeah, well, most of them didn't know what Taekwondo was. I had to explain it most of the time. But like Nicola said, they all just thought we were really tough and hard. And if anyone got into a fight, then they'd probably ask us more than anything to get in one. I don't think they really understood why we were doing it at the time. But now, when I speak to them and stuff, they understand, like, the journey is amazing and they wish that they got involved in something more when they were younger. Because when you're younger, all you want to do is go out, you want to be with your friends, you want to do this. But we were, like, more dedicated to go to Taekwondo or boxing or any sport that we wanted to pursue that.
Relay. The Team GB podcast supported by GoDaddy, Team GB's official domain name, website builder, and web hosting partner, helping athletes turn their entrepreneurial dreams into reality.
Now, talking of entrepreneurs, Bianca, I hear that you've got a secret love of pizza, so much so that you've opened up your own restaurant. How did that come about?
Yeah, so my family are Italian, so it's part of us cooking pizza, all that. And then one time in 2017, there was a first competition for Taekwondo for a bit of prize money. It's not really an often thing to get. And I actually went out and competed and won, and I came back, and with that money I used, I helped set up my mum with a pizzeria restaurant. So me and my mum own a pizzeria restaurant in Liverpool.
What's it called?
Yeah.
It's called Di Scala Pizzeria. It's my granddad's name, so it's our family name.
And your family, because obviously they're with you every step of the way in, obviously, pizza, in your pizza business, and in your Olympic career. Your dad is quite vocal, isn't he, when he's watching you compete?
Yeah, he's a little bit too loud. I'll probably hear him in Japan when he's at home watching it on the TV. He's that loud. He shouts. He's more known in the crowd than I am in the crowd because he's just there all the time shouting. But he constantly shouts no mercy, and it's a little bit violent, to be fair, in the crowd.
What does he shout in the pizza restaurant?
Get your pizza. No joke.
Yeah. No pepperoni.
If you weren't an athlete, what would you be?
I don't know. I'm just glad I am an athlete. I'd probably be just, I don't know, I'd be lost. If anything, sport for me was something I found. I'm glad I did, because I think I'd just be lost without it.
When you're not on the mats, what do you do? What, have you got a hobby, or is your hobby watching your opponents?
No, when I actually don't do Taekwondo, I like to stop. I like to switch off. I'll go to the pizzeria restaurant, make some pizzas. Not really much. Athletes haven't really got a life outside of that. You literally train, come home, switch off, watch films, and then go back to it again. But I reckon when I finish, I want to be part of like a massive gym. I want to have my own sports complex, like a UFC facility and everything. So I'll probably throw all my eggs into that basket.
Reese, have you tried Taekwondo?
Oh, yeah, just a bit, mate.
Yeah?
No, absolutely not. Of course not.
Well,
of course not.
Well, let's ask Bianca, because we've both got the opportunity now. I mean, Nicola, I'm sure you know a little bit about Taekwondo. There must be some elements within boxing and Taekwondo which is similar. So I think you and I, Reese, should take it upon ourselves to ask on behalf of everyone listening. Taekwondo, when we watch it in Japan, what are we looking out for, Bianca? Give us some of those phrases, give us some of the moves that when the commentators talk about it, that we know and we'll understand.
Okay, so two opponents go head to head, and it's basically the first one to knock someone out. That'll be easier to see. After that...
Hang on, that's what they're doing in MMA. Why is Conor McGregor not doing this?
He used to do it, actually. I think he used to do it.
Did he?
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
So you face each other, you're dressed in judo-esque outfits.
Yeah, dough box.
And then what happens?
So we have 3 rounds of 2 minutes. Whoever's got the most points at the end wins. If you score to the body, you get 2 points. If you score to the head, you get 3 points. And if you add any additional spin, like you can spin in the air or spin fancy kicks, you get an additional 2 points. And whoever gets the most points wins. Or if you knock them out before that, then you win.
How motivated are you by your experiences in Rio? So obviously you won a bronze, incredibly impressive, but you weren't that happy about it at the time, were you?
No, I was fuming. I came off and I lost on sudden death. Basically, at the end of the 3 rounds, if it's the same draw, you go to an extra round. It's the first person to score anything. I thought I scored and then I got clipped and it went on the other side to the other opponent. And then that made me go into the semi-final matches, which I knew that was going to be the hardest match. And I was just like, just 1 point off winning. Gold to bronze was just like devastating for me at the time because I had such a high expectation and put a bit of pressure on. But hopefully I can upgrade at this time in the next one and see do a little bit better.
I seem to remember that, and I think your face painted 1,000 pictures, Bianca, when that happened.
Yeah,
all that preparation and for that to happen, I don't know how you would deal with the emotion. Do you know what I mean? Because it's 4 years. It's every 4 years, isn't it? Where you kind of think, oh my gosh, 4 years till I go again. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the hardest thing. I wear my heart on my sleeve, so my face tells it all. I couldn't hide it. And I was just walking in. I was like a spoiled brat. Like, I had to turn it round and be like, no, come on, you have to still fight for this. And I remember walking out and I see my family in the crowd and I was just like, I don't want to do it. I know I could win, but I don't want to. And I walked out and my little brother was like, come on. And I was like, oh, if I'm going to have to do it, I'll have to do it now. But then after that, it was quite heartbreaking because I felt like I still failed even though I achieved something. It was just like the expectation was so hard. And then the first thing I said when I came off was, oh, I'll have to win Tokyo. And I was like, oh God, that's so far away. And then they added on an extra year for the postponement. So I was just getting longer and longer now.
So what's giving you that motivation to like keep going for the next 4 years, to give you that drive?
I think it literally is the chance again to go out there and try and become Olympic champion. It's definitely a lot harder to do it if you've won it already and then win it again. But I think like because I had a little bite of it, it's definitely made me want more and more.
Oh, exciting.
And like, I know athletes always get injuries. Tell me about the 4 pins that you've got in your knees.
Oh, yeah. I was unfortunate, really. I've ruptured 2 ACLs in my left knee and right knee.
Oh, no.
First one was actually just before London in 2011. Oh. It was completely gone. It was written off. And it was the first time I had a major injury and I didn't know what it was. And then I rehabbed it, tried to turn it all around. And then it happened again in 2014 on the other leg. It was a bit easier on the other leg because I already had the T-shirt for the first one. But to be honest, I think doing that has made me the athlete I am today.
What's it like getting through airport security with screws in your leg?
To be fair, I'm devastated. It doesn't go off.
No!
Yeah, I thought it would off.
You'd never get to tell your anecdote.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Nicola, I think it's only fair that we have some Olympic chat between two Olympians. You know, you've been there and done it. You've got the medals. Bianca, you've been there. You've experienced. You didn't get the medal that you wanted. If you two were to sit in a casual environment, similar to where we are now, but without any microphones, what would you talk about? What advice would you try and give Bianca?
I'd be saying to Bianca to forget about the past, what happened, try and stay in the moment and just think about the right now and just go with that. You've done the hard work, you've done the training, you know what it's like to be in there. It's the same arena, probably the same judges that you've seen time and time again, the same opponents that you've fought against and beaten time and time again. Just go in there knowing that and give it your all.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. Just take wide words off the champ. Thank you. I'll come back and be like, I did it.
What can we offer, Reese? Not much.
Don't get hammered the night before.
Oh, I was looking forward to that.
Sorry. But maybe it'll help. Who knows?
Bianca, you know your Taekwondo white, your uniform?
Yeah.
Do you prepare that yourself? Do you wash it, steam it, dry clean it, use spray starch when you iron it, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so we'll have it like a few weeks before the competition.
Oh, there's an official, like, did Team GB give you that?
Yeah, so we're actually going to the kit day soon for Taekwondoers to go down and get our kit, and we'll receive our suit then.
Yeah, tell them about the kit day. Tell them what it's like when you go in there.
Oh, it feels so like Christmas morning.
No, it is. It's cool. It's like a great experience. It's definitely an experience part of the whole being an Olympian. I can't wait to go, actually. You just go there, turn up. It's like a massive maze in Birmingham. And you go through and it's got like the Team GB logos on, all the sponsors that were there and involved in Team GB and Olympics. And you just go through and you like get your clothes like on the way of this labyrinth. And it's a great experience to go to. And you just try and get as much stuff as you can, as much freebies as you can. And you come back with like 4 bags.
Oh, I think we've got the similar DNA, Bianca, because that would so be me. Get it in the bag. Yeah, yeah, but Vern, you're not doing pole vault. I don't care.
Yeah. What freebies can you get at the Olympic kit day? So you're going there for your robe, your taekwondo outfit. What are you coming back with? Boxing gloves?
If there's some boxing gloves, I'm taking some boxing gloves. If there's fencing, I'll take the sword. I'd take it all.
Bianca, you are in no way, you're no way matching up to the stereotype of that definitely. City that you're from. All right, I don't know whether that will make the edit because it might be controversial.
I didn't want to say it. Yeah. I've got a Liverpool tour date to do. Yeah.
No, I will
ask. Sell those tickets, please. Yeah. We know that you're going to be really excited about getting your free kit and stuff. But I just want to go through that whole journey. You've got your kit. You're preparing to get on the flight. I mean, Reese, do you have essentials in your kit bag when you do a stand-up tour?
A second T-shirt. That's all you need.
Simple.
Second T-shirt.
Nicola, did you pack anything in particular?
My essential is my music speaker. I'm in charge of the music. So I had to have the speaker, had to make sure I had all the latest songs and the latest trends. That was my job.
Do you have a last song you listen to before a fight that gets you pumped up?
Yeah, Moment for Life, Nicki Minaj.
Oh, I thought, nice. Thank God you didn't say the Rocky theme.
Yeah, I was like, oh, the tiger, is it? All right, mate. Yeah.
I was just about to say that, but you know what? I'll change it.
You're lying, Bianca. You're lying.
Come on, Bianca. It's Hey Jude.
Yeah, I love the Rocky soundtrack. I'd listen to it over and over again if I could.
That's too funny. But do you have any particulars that you pack in your kit bag once you've managed to nick a load of freebies?
Yeah, after me and freebies, I've actually got my own red ribbon. I have a red ribbon which I've wore for like nearly every competition since like 2010. It's the same ribbon. It's got holes in and everything, but it's my little part of me and part of my taekwondo journey, and now I wear it all the time. So you'll have to look out for me, red ribbon.
In taekwondo, do you have nicknames? Like you do, like certain boxers have nicknames, don't
like
they?
Wrestlers.
To psych out. Yeah, exactly. You know, like Smoking Joe Frazier. Do you have a taekwondo nickname?
I've actually got called Queen Bee. I don't think Beyonce is too happy because she's got the same one, but we'll have to share it.
If she ever steps into the taekwondo game, you're going to have to compete.
Yeah.
You fight for the name.
Yeah, fight for the name. Yeah. I think I'd have a good chance, but anything else, no.
I reckon she'd be good at the spins, but not much else.
Yeah. Do you have a Sasha Fierce alter ego?
Yeah, a little bit. Everyone's got it. You've got to have something, haven't you?
Well, actually, we're going to play you a clip from what your boyfriend told us about your alter ego.
What?
I'm only joking.
I was so... my heart sunk then. I was like, someone's getting made. Wait till training.
I'm going to be really serious now, and it's very rare that we get really serious on the podcast, bearing in mind it's a Team GB podcast. But Bianca... are you confident in your preparations for Japan?
Yes, I'm confident with the preparation we've done. And obviously, I wish it was not the year that we've all had. But I think, like, if anything, the Olympics is going to be a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel and make us feel a little bit more connected and a little bit more like life is going to be back to normal. And I just can't wait to see that and let the sport carry on again, and I can't wait to go out there and give it everything I've got and die trying for it.
That's what we like to hear. I mean, that just shows you like how much an Olympic medal means to the athletes. Like, we've prepared to put everything on the line.
Yeah, it's so special. Do you guys feel special? Do you understand what you represent, Bianca? Did you understand what you represented when you were boxing, Nicola? The kind of responsibility that you've got as a Team GB member.
Well, when I was in it, I didn't really. I was just thinking, I just want to win a medal, you know, and didn't really think about everything else around it. But now I've retired, I realise now more than ever how much it means to everybody else and how much we actually do for the country when we're stepping up there and we're going out there and we're winning medals. It's a great thing to experience, and it's an honour.
But the noise when you won was outrageous.
Unbelievable. It was the same amount of noise as a jumbo jet taking off. Like, that's how loud it was in there. It was insane.
Who gave you that stat immediately?
Yeah.
And just FYI, Nicola, you could be at Heathrow right now. Were you aware of it when you were in Rio, though? So are you aware of the support back home when you're there? Are you on social media looking at stuff, keeping up to date with what people are saying? I mean, like you said earlier, I presume that people aren't going to bother slagging off a boxer or a taekwondo athlete, you know, because they know what's going to come. But are you following that and seeing the sort of the tweets and what people are saying?
Yeah. The support is unbelievable, especially when it comes to the Olympic time. It's just the whole nation just wakes up and just gets behind all the athletes, and it's just great. And I can't wait to see everybody getting behind the athletes when everybody's in Tokyo, because we've had such a rough couple of years with COVID, and I feel like the Olympics right now is what the country needs.
Yeah, Bianca, are you feeling proud to be able to represent Team GB, and do you think that's something that will ever leave you? Because once you are, you will always be now a Team GB medal winner.
I think, like Nicola said, you don't really think of it like now in the moment. I'm just thinking about like going out there doing my best. But looking back, if I look at Nicola now, to what she's done for the sport, women in the sport, everything, I see that through her now, and she should be like so proud of herself for inspiring so many people. And I would only say that about her herself, but when you're in the moment, you would never think that. I understand you'd just be going out there for your medal and everything, but if we could just inspire one person to do sport or one person to do whatever they wanted, then that's more than enough, let alone to represent your country and stand there and hopefully hear the national anthem play and be part of something so fantastic. And I think like the history you'll always be part of, like you said, and you don't really cherish that until you're finished and complete. So right now I don't really feel it, but I think now that you've spoke about it, I understand like, oh, that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, don't heap pressure on there, Vernon.
All right, let's kind of lighten the mood. I've heard that after Rio, the celebrations on the aeroplane were something else. They were quite special, right? You're laughing because you know what I'm not going to talk about. But Bianca, were you on that plane as well?
Yeah, but what happens on the plane stays on the plane.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the Green Mile.
There you go. Yeah. And I thought it was a bit of it rubbed salt into the wound that the gold medalists sat in first and those that didn't do so well but competed sat at the back near the lavs.
Nicola was in first class. I was in like business class. And then everyone else was at the back.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, Nicola must have been in the cockpit. I mean,
two gold medals.
Just driving the plane.
Yeah. Have the pyjamas on.
What motivates you more? Just final question. What motivates you more, winning gold or getting to go home in first class?
Getting to go home in first class because you've won gold.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
All right, Bianca, now it's just over 5 weeks until you take to the mat in Tokyo, so not long to go. And it's time for some last minute advice from someone who's been there and done it twice. And Rhys James. So what we've done, we've managed to put together a poem, and we're going to do this every week on the pod, that has been written to inspire and motivate you guys, our Olympians, as you step forward into the land of the rising sun and represent Team GB. So if you've got 90 seconds, I know you have.
I can't wait.
Nicola, are you going to start?
Yep.
All right, so here we go. Nicola, over to you.
The GoDaddy Motivation Station.
Bianca Woxen, Olympian, your time has come to compete in the land of the famed rising sun. Taekwondo in Tokyo, yo, what a story. When this warrior from Liverpool fights for golden glory.
This girl's a world champion and you've earned your place. You've got all of the skills that an athlete must ace. Bravery, speed, strength, precision and grace. Not to mention a well-aimed spinning kick to the face.
Some of us watching back home in support will know that you've been on A Question of Sport. You rocked that TV show. You've earned full respect. The only big question is, what happens next?
Your best friend, Jade Jones, has not one gold, but two. She'll be just like the rest of us, cheering for you. Jade's nickname's the Headhunter. Yours is Queen Bee. You've got speed, you've got strength, your taekwondo's Ali. Now it's time to win gold, so just take it from me. You're gonna float like a butterfly and sting like Queen Bee.
When you're in the arena, let it never be quiet, cause back home there'll be millions of us roaring a riot. While the Tokyo Games will bring their share of unknowns, one thing's for sure, you'll never walk alone.
I feel like crying.
Well, do you know what we're going to do, Bianca? For all our athletes that we have on the show, we're going to take these poems, we're going to jazz them up, we're going to put them in a frame, we'll just say, you know, thank you and good luck, because aww. I think they're so special. They're really personal to our athletes that we've got on the pod.
Is it?
On behalf of us here and the nation, we wish you all the very best. Do us proud, give them hell and bring it home. Thank you so much for your time. It's been inspirational.
Yeah.
It really has, because I think what we'll learn on this podcast is the commitment, the dedication, the hard work that our athletes put in is something special and inspiring.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me. And I'm definitely taking Nicola's advice and hopefully it works.
You got this.
Oh, thank you.
Take my advice as well. Take a second T-shirt.
Okay.
That's it from us. That first one's in the can. We're done and dusted. Reese, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Nicola.
Thank you.
We've a whole series to bring you between now and the end of the Olympics. If you like that, if you like what you heard, tell your friends and don't forget to do what you usually say at the end of a podcast. Rate if it's positive and get in touch using @TeamGB on social media. Next time on Relay, the interview baton passes to this man.
Next door was Usain Bolt. Boom, 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 on the door. I was like, big man. My niece really likes you. Would you mind speaking to her on the phone? And he just, come in.
We're stepping into the ring and we're going toe-to-toe with Team GB boxer Chev Clark, who's already booked his seat on the plane to Tokyo. Relay is the Team GB podcast supported by GoDaddy and produced by TBI Media. That's it from me, Vernon Kay,
Reese James,
Nicola Adams.
And we will see you next time. Thank you very much.